Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. September already, huh? Well, welcome back, friend. It's National Bring Your Manners to Work Day, so today I'm being really polite to Craig. So, hey, Craig, hope you're doing great tonight. Feel free to call after the show. We'll chat about forecasts and revenues and all sorts of fun stuff. Oh, I'm feeling fine, Chester. Just celebrating the holiday. Anyway, come on in, friends. Give me that goddamn whiskey. That's better. So check out simplyscarypodcast.com, would you? For as little as $7.99 a month, you can become a patron and enjoy all the catalog dating back to 2012, ad-free and available to download or stream. Just click that patrons link and join the club. So tonight, we welcome author Jack Finn by way of Velox Books. This one's set in the trenches of Flanders during World War I. It's from Jack's book, They Come When You Sleep, which you can find on Velox Books. So, without further delay, from author Jack Finn, I give you No Man's Land.
Sarge, what are we gonna do?
Macaulay's eyes were darting around wildly with panic.
Hold it together, Macaulay!
Sergeant Paczynski grabbed Macaulay by the front of his uniform and pulled him so close the steel brim of their M1917 helmets almost collided.
I'm going to get us all out of here.
He released Macaulay's uniform and the smaller man leaned back against the earthen wall of the giant bomb crater that the squad was using as a trench. Paczynski figured only a shell fired from one of the German Big Bertha howitzers could have created a crater large enough to hide the six soldiers from the American 91st Infantry Division, the Wild West Division from Washington State. He had seen combat engineers dig up one of the unexploded German artillery rounds when they first arrived at the front line in Belgium 3 months after the Battle of Poelcapelle in October 1917. The artillery shell was almost as tall as a man, 18 inches wide and weighed over 1,000 pounds. Sergeant Charlie Duke Paczynski looked at the men huddled in the crater alongside him. Three of the men had been with him since the unit left Camp Lewis in Tacoma, Washington that summer. Private Michael Macaulay was a small, red-headed 20-year-old from California with a face full of freckles. Macaulay had a smart mouth and quick wit that gave people the impression he was a streetwise kid. However, the truth was that the Army boot camp had been the first time Macaulay had ever been further away from home than family vacations to the beach. Duke was beginning to worry that 3 months of constant combat in Flanders, the meat grinder of the Great War, was starting to push the kid's nerves to the brink. Duke was the only child of Lithuanian immigrants, so he felt some natural kinship with Private Johannes Dutch Fourie, the burly son of Dutch immigrants who settled on Whidbey Island to open a bakery in 1905. Back at Camp Lewis, Dutch had a reputation as an imposing boxer with a quick temper that made even the toughest guys in the Wild West Division look away when his pale blue eyes stared them down. He did not talk much unless he was talking about the best ways to bake bread, which seemed to be an unrivaled passion of the man. The worse things got on the front lines, the more Dutch talked about bread. But Duke figured there were worse ways to deal with the daily horrors of war. When Duke left Camp Lewis, Lieutenant Morris placed 12 soldiers under his command. Morris died in a hell of German machine gun fire their first week in Flanders. 9 of Duke's men lay dead somewhere in no man's land, the wasteland of barbed wire, bodies, and bomb craters that divided the German line of the trenches from those of the American, French, and British allies. After only 3 months, McCauley, Dutch, and Private Joey Bucha were all that were left of the original 12. Bucha was a tough-talking Italian kid from Brooklyn, New York, with an innate resentment for authority. Duke heard from one of the other sergeants that Bucha fled to Oregon after getting into trouble in New York. Then he joined the army to escape some situation he found in Oregon. Remarkably, Bucha seemed relatively unfazed by the fighting in Flanders and took each day as it came.
"When I go over the trench wall,"
Duke had heard Bucha telling the other guys during the voyage across the Atlantic,
"either I come back or I don't. In the story."
At first, Duke thought Bucha was putting on a good show in front of the other soldiers, trying to look tough. But after seeing him in combat for 3 months, he believed the kid's devil-may-care attitude was for real. Moreover, Duke admitted that Bucha's clear thinking had saved them all this morning. Just before dawn, the squad had charged across no man's land with the 362nd Infantry Regiment to soften the German lines for a larger British offensive scheduled for that morning. The Germans fired flares that illuminated the battlefield as they slowly drifted to the ground on parachutes and rained machine gun fire and a constant artillery barrage down upon the American soldiers. Duke led his men to a 30-foot dugout to get them some cover. He crested the edge of the dugout and raised his rifle to shoot any Germans hiding in the trench, but froze at what his eyes beheld. The men inside, Germans from the remains of their uniforms, had all been torn apart. As bullets whizzed by him, Duke stood immobilized with horror at the sight. He had seen a lot of death in the past 3 months, but nothing like this. The soldiers had been torn limb from limb. Scattered arms, legs, torsos, and heads lay strewn throughout the trench amid tattered uniforms and discarded weapons. The Germans must have taken a direct hit from an artillery round and been blown apart. But there were no scorch marks, and incredibly, there was very little blood amidst the carnage. The sound of his men yelling at him for guidance snapped him out of his daze. Machine gun fire was sending up sprays of dirt all around them, and exploding artillery rounds were sending soldiers of the 362nd hurtling through the air like rag dolls. Bucha spotted the large crater and got the squad safely into it as the relentless German weapons fire butchered the men of the 362nd all around them. They found 2 other soldiers already seeking shelter in the crater. Corporal Don Glantz, an American medic from the 362nd, and a semi-comatose Australian soldier with a name tag that read Anders. Glantz had spotted Anders in the crater, huddled in rambling gibberish as the Americans advanced across the battlefield. When the German barrage began, he had been trying to give the man medical attention.
"All right, everyone listen up."
Duke made sure to look each man in the eye, except for Anders, who curled into a field position and stared skyward.
"The 362nd has retreated to the American lines. The sun is up, so for now we're stuck in no man's land."
McCauley opened his mouth to speak, However, a sudden burst of machine gun fire in the distance, punctuated by a scream, cut him off.
That is why we're going to sit tight and wait for nightfall.
Duke gestured over his shoulder with a thumb.
When it gets dark, we'll slip out of this hole and return to our lines. Until then, we will keep our heads down and not attract any attention from the Germans. Any questions?
Duke looked at the mud-smeared faces of the men in the trench and stared hard at McCauley, who looked ready to protest, then decided to sit quietly.
Good.
The sergeant tried to give his most confident smile.
We'll enjoy this Belgian sunshine, then get home in time for supper. What's the deal with the Aussie?
Duke watched a thin, dark-haired soldier murmur to himself as his face twitched uncontrollably and his eyes blinked rapidly.
He's got shell shock.
Glantz took off his helmet and ran his hand through his short, curly hair.
When I found him, he told me he had to hide, that there were monsters in the mists, that they killed all the men in his unit.
The damn Germans are monsters, all right.
McCauley shook his head and looked weary beyond his years as he tried to wipe mud from his rifle.
This whole country is a nightmare.
I don't think he was talking about the Germans.
Glantz looked sadly at the murmuring soldier.
He said that they were creatures that looked like a man but were pale white and walked on their hands and feet like spiders. He claims they sucked the blood from his buddies.
My father used to call such creatures Klod. Demons.
Dutch made a chomping motion with his teeth at McCauley.
They would eat little boys like you. The man's lost his mind.
Duke squinted at the blue sky and wondered if the Germans were getting ready to lob more of those giant artillery shells into no man's land to keep everyone on their toes.
Probably, but you know what's strange?
Glantz pointed at Anders, who had gone from chittering nervously to wrapping his arms around himself and quietly rocking back and forth.
You see that patch on his shoulder? The square with the purple over the blue?
Yeah, what of it?
Duke was watching Butcher affix a small tin mirror to the tip of his bayonet with bubble gum, and then slowly raise the bayonet above the lip of the crater to surveil the surrounding area without risking a bullet in the brain case.
Butcher, don't let the sun reflect off that mirror. You let every German in Flanders know we're here.
Butcher just dismissed the warning with a thumbs up that irritated Duke, though he had to admit it was a bright idea.
I did some training with some of the Anzac medics. That patch is the Fighting 10th, the 10th Battalion. They were part of the 3rd Brigade of the Australian 1st Division.
I didn't think we had any Australian soldiers fighting in this part of the line.
Duke reflected on the briefings he had attended with Lieutenant Morris.
Just British and French on either side of us.
Exactly.
Glantz was about to say more when McCauley nearly jumped up, then remembered the German machine gunner scanning the battlefield.
The 10th is the unit that disappeared during the Battle of Port Capel, right before we got here.
McCauley eyed the Australian soldier nervously.
All the guys were talking about it. They disappeared in the fog near Passchendaele. None of them returned.
That would mean he's been living out here for 3 months.
Duke eyed Glantz skeptically.
Doc, that's not possible.
Maybe he escaped from the Germans.
Glantz shrugged his shoulders.
How are we going to sneak quietly out of here tonight without that cracked egg giving us away?
McCauley pointed toward Anders. Duke had been thinking the same thing moments earlier and could see Dutch nodding in agreement.
We can't bring him with us. He'll get us all killed.
Sergeant, we have someone coming.
Butcher pulled the bayonet down and slipped the mirror off the knife.
German?
Duke grabbed his rifle and saw the others doing the same.
He's wearing a British uniform and low-crawling right for us across the battlefield from this direction.
Butcher pointed over his head as he readied his knife.
Everyone lower your guns.
Duke waved his hand down.
It's probably another doughboy like us stuck out here. I don't need any itchy trigger fingers advertising our positions to the Germans.
It's broad daylight. How the hell are the German machine guns not Swiss cheesing this guy?
McCauley shook his head incredulously.
Maybe they don't see him. Maybe he's small like you.
Dutch nodded his head toward McCauley.
Hell, Dutch, I'll thank my short Irish mother every day if I'm too short to be shot.
Both of you quiet,
Duke hissed as the sound of something scurrying across the ground got closer. Butcher crouched low as the head and shoulders of a small blonde-haired man appeared over the lip of the crater. He reached up, grabbed the front of the man's khaki uniform, and pulled him down into the trench. The man hit the ground and rolled onto his back with a low grunt as Butcher touched the tip of his bayonet to the man's neck and brought a finger to his lip, gesturing to be quiet as he shook his head slowly.
Okay, okay.
The man held his palms out and kept his voice low.
I'm a British officer.
Let him up, Butcher.
Duke and the others visibly relaxed as the man sat up slowly.
Thanks for letting the Germans know where we are.
McCauley spit angrily onto the ground.
I'm sorry. I didn't know anyone was here.
The man's eyes darted nervously from face to face.
My name is Waters. Major Paul Waters. I was trying to get back to our lines. Was hoping to find a place to lay low until night time.
Duke eyed the man in the mud-stained khaki British officer uniform. Waters was a small, pale-skinned man with short, stringy blonde hair. He had deep-set green eyes and a wide mouth, surrounded by thick, rosy lips that he constantly licked in what Duke took for a nervous habit. A small gash across his thigh oozed dark blood through the torn leg of his khaki uniform.
Sir, sorry for the less than neighborly welcome. Where the hell did you come from?
Duke leaned over and shook the man's hand, which was cold and clammy.
I'm with the 18th Corps Headquarters Company.
Waters nodded in greeting.
I was delivering a message when all the shooting started this morning.
For the British offensive?
Duke nodded thoughtfully.
Yes.
Waters nodded eagerly.
That's right.
We're going to stay here until it gets dark, then try and make our way back to the American lines.
Duke waved over the medic.
Glance, come take a look at the cut on his leg.
Oh, thank you, old chap. That would be wonderful. If I could ask you a favor.
Waters' eyes suddenly lit up with almost feverish excitement.
I don't suppose one of you has a cigarette. I could really use a smoke.
There's no smoking in no man's land, sir.
Butcher gave the man a withering look.
Oh, yes, of course.
Waters looked down dejectedly.
How foolish of me to forget. I just so love a good cigarette.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, Sarge.
Butcher crawled over to sit next to Duke as the sun's light began to disappear over the horizon. The men all seemed alone in their thoughts as the time to leave the safety of the crater drew closer. Butcher nodded toward Waters, who sat quietly, his eyes scanning the sky.
What do you make of this guy?
Just another doughboy stuck in this mess like us.
Duke looked sidelong at Butcher.
Why do you ask?
Something about the guy just doesn't feel right to me.
You think he's a German?
Duke appraised the British soldier suspiciously.
Can't put my finger on it.
Butcher shook his head, his dark eyes studying the British officer.
Something about the guy feels wrong. Look at his boots.
His boots?
Duke looked at Waters' worn brown leather boots and saw nothing remarkable.
Back in Brooklyn, my old man was a shoemaker. He always told me to look at a man's shoes. A real working man always has worn shoes, stuff like that. So it became second nature to me to look at people's shoes. So I looked at the major's boots while the doc was working on his leg, and the sole is all wrong.
Duke stared at the British officer's boots but could not see anything unusual.
You know how our boots have steel rivets on the bottom to help in the mud, right?
Butcha pointed to the rows of raised steel rivets on the sole of his boot as Duke nodded.
But American and British boots have an iron heel plate with hobnails. French boots use rivets on the heel. The Major's boots have rivets on the heel. They're French boots, not British.
Duke could see now what Butcher was talking about. There were rivets in a half-moon pattern on the heel of the Major's boots.
So you think he's a Frenchman impersonating the British officer?
I'm just saying it's strange is all.
Butcher shrugged his shoulders but still looked troubled.
It's just the jitters, Butcher. We're all feeling it.
Duke put a reassuring hand on the younger man's shoulder.
Couple of hours from now, we'll be sipping coffee and eating some hot chow.
Hey, why do you keep looking up like that?
Macaulay stared irritably at the British soldier.
I'm just watching for bombs.
Waters grinned a mouthful of uneven teeth at the red-haired soldier.
Well, stop doing it. It's bad luck.
Macaulay shook his head in annoyance.
You don't have to look for them. You'll hear them if they come. Boom.
Waters mouthed and then chuckled as he made an exploding gesture with his hands.
What's with this guy?
Macaulay pointed at Waters and looked over at Dutch, who just shook his head.
Okay, everyone gather round.
Duke was dreading this conversation, but knew he could not put it off any longer. The men crouched in a circle around the sergeant. He could read the nervousness on all their faces.
Guys, we have a tough decision to make.
Duke pointed over at the sleeping Australian soldier.
We can't take Anders with us. There's too much of a chance he'll give us away. So the question is, do we leave him out here for the Germans, or...
The words hung in the air as each man looked down or at their hands. Only Waters stared at him with those deep-set green eyes.
Or do we do him a kindness?
Butcha finished his sentence. Duke thought the man put it eloquently and appreciated that Butcha did not make him say the words himself. He gave Butcha a small grateful smile, and Butcha returned a quick nod of acknowledgement.
He let me give him a morphine injection earlier. I think he will do so again.
Glance looked at his hands as he spoke.
I can give him an overdose. He won't feel any pain.
I think he would appreciate that, Corporal Glance.
Duke offered the man a reassuring glance and could see the medic had tears in his eyes.
You know, you work so hard to keep the boys alive.
Glance's voice cracked with emotion, and he shook his head to keep the tears from coming.
But you're right. This is a kindness.
Or I could stay with them.
Waters offered with a weak smile.
What?
Duke voiced the shock that all the others felt.
With my leg wound, it would be hard for me to keep up anyway.
Waters gave a casual shrug of indifference.
Sir, it's little more than a deep scratch.
Glance looked at the man incredulously.
I'll be fine.
The Major's green eyes trailed over to look at the sleeping Anders.
When you chaps get back to headquarters, send a stretcher team for us.
Sir, why are you doing this?
Duke thought the Major was making the most incredibly brave or idiotic decision he had ever seen. The Major opened his mouth to reply, but Dutch cut him off.
Major, who would win in a boxing match? Ruby Rob Fitzsimmons or Gentleman Jim Corbett?
Dutch's awkward time question stunned everyone, and Duke squinted in the dim dusk light to get a good look at Dutch to see if the man had become unhinged under the tension. Duke stared back at the British officer with the same disinterested look he always bore, though his jaw muscles looked tighter than usual.
I'm sorry, I don't share the Yanks' love of pugilism.
Major Waters gave a nervous smile.
Dutch, I don't think this is the time.
Dutch raised a hand to pause Macaulay mid-sentence.
Come on, Major.
Dutch slid his rifle across his knees to level it at Waters, his cold blue eyes unreadable.
Who do you think would win? Fitzsimmons or Corbett? Private Forey?
Duke leaned over to grab Dutch's shoulder. put your rifle down. Fitzsimmons knocked Corbett out in the 14th round to become the world's heavyweight champion. It was a punch to the solar plexus that finished off Gentleman Jim. The punch was legendary.
Dutch stared unwaveringly at Waters.
Yeah, I remember my old man telling me about that.
Bucha nodded his head slowly, and then he too looked suddenly at Waters and brought his rifle to point at the British officer.
It was a big deal in all the papers because Corbett was the American champion and Fitzsimmons was an Englishman.
That's right.
Dutch nodded his head and smiled wryly.
I ain't never met a Brit that did not know Ruby Rob Fitzsimmons or take pride in the fact that he put the Yank champ down on his ass.
Waters' face twitched nervously as all eyes turned to stare at him. Suddenly, an ear-piercing shriek of pure terror shattered the hushed sounds of No Man's Land that startled even the ordinarily unflappable Bucha. Ah! The men turned to see Anders sitting up staring at him, a look of abject fear contorting his face. The man's eyes were wide open, the whites nearly glowed in the darkness. His body shook and trembled like a leaf in a windstorm.
Grab him!
Duke recognized the look of a trapped animal in Anders' eyes and knew the man was going to run. Glance leaped forward and wrapped his arms around the Australian's waist as the man began to scramble frantically over the side of the crater. Anders had dragged the medic halfway out of the crater when Duke heard the sound of the German machine guns open fire.
Get down!
Duke pressed himself low to the ground as German machine gun fire raked the lip of the crater. Anders screamed as bullets peppered his torso, spinning him out of Glance's grasp. The Australian soldier's body jerked as the large bore machine gun round struck and exited his body with small geysers of blood as he tumbled lifelessly over the side of the crater and out of sight. Glance slumped motionless over the lip of the crater, a wet red stain growing on his back where a bullet had struck him.
Leave him! He's gone!
Bucha grabbed Dutch's arm and pulled him back as he reached for the lower half of Glance's body, which still dangled inside the crater.
Anders was looking at you!
McCauley pointed an accusatory finger at Waters, who sat grinning madly in the crater.
He was terrified of you!
The pop of German flare guns filled the night as they fired star shells into the air. The shells exploded high in the sky, releasing flares that blazed brightly as they descended by parachute, illuminating the area around the crater like the midday sun. As the flares lit up the crater, Duke could see Waters clearly, sitting calmly with a wide grin on his face. The grin stretched wide across his face, making his mouth look too elongated to be human. Waters' teeth looked unnaturally long and jagged. His green eyes appeared to have sunk deeper into his round, pale face.
Why the hell is he smiling like that?
McCauley was sliding as far back from Waters as the crater would allow. Duke stared transfixed at Waters as the flares began to burn out, casting the battlefield back into darkness. It took a moment for his eyes to adjust to the sudden darkness, but as the acuity of his vision returned, he saw Waters open his mouth into a gaping maw. A loud keening noise escaped from deep within the man's body. The wail turned into a series of high-pitched giggles that reminded Duke of how hyenas called each other at the zoo back home.
What the hell?
Bucha stared in horror at Waters.
Stop that noise!
Dutch jumped on top of Waters, pushing the man onto his back in the crater.
Stop that noise!
He pinned the British officer down with his knees and punched Waters repeatedly in the face.
Stop making that noise!
Waters' lips split, coating his jagged teeth with blood, but he continued smiling and making that chilling noise unabated as Dutch rained blows down upon his face. popping noises from the German lines telegraphed another volley of star shells, arching high into the sky. The flares exploded overhead, illuminating the battlefield as German machine gun fire swept the area with a hail of bullets.
Glantz is still alive!
McCauley pointed at the medic's body sprawled across the top of the crater. Duke could see by the light of the flares the medic's eyes rolling in their sockets as he struggled to extend his finger to point at something beyond the crater. He held his trembling finger out for a moment, then his arm went limp and dropped to the dirt as he expelled his final breath. Dutch had wrapped his hands around the neck of the bloodied Waters and squeezed and shook the man violently to make him stop making that horrendous noise. Affixing his small mirror to his bayonet, Butcher slid the mirror over the lip of the trench to surveil in the direction Glantz had pointed. Butcher pulled the knife back down and pulled it close to his chest as he pressed his back hard against the wall of the crater. His face had gone deathly pale, and his eyes held a look of terror and panic that Duke had never seen in the young soldier.
There are hundreds of them.
Butcher's hands trembled as he affixed his bayonet to the end of his rifle.
Pale white monsters, scurrying towards us on their hands and feet. I can see their eyes flashing in the light of the flare. I think Waters is calling them.
The sound of German artillery firing echoed across the battlefield, the night filled with the sound of explosive shells whistling overhead, and the air vibrating with the concussive blasts of their impact as they began to fall around the crater. Dirt and debris showered down on the men as each explosion fell nearer the crater.
They're walking the shells in on us!
Duke pressed himself against the back of the crater and gripped his rifle with knuckles white with terror.
Hail Mary, full of grace!
McCauley pulled his knees in tight against his body and rocked back and forth, his eyes squeezed shut.
Hail Mary, full of grace! Hail Mary, full of grace! Hail Mary!
Oberfeldzebel Hiram Maxim scanned the battlefield through the metal sight of his Bergmann MG-15 machine gun. The December air was freezing, and he was careful not to let his bare skin touch the cold metal of the machine gun. He had seen too many soldiers lose the skin off their cheek that way in these temperatures. Maxim clenched and unclenched his fingers to keep the blood flowing to him, and cursed over Lieutenant Hauptmann for putting him on duty Christmas Eve for the 100th time that night. At this moment, every squad member was sitting warm in the bunker, their bellies full of special holiday rations. Everyone except him and the new guy. Maxim spit on the floor in disgust. The soldier tapped him on the shoulder.
Haben Sie eine Zigarette?
Nein!
Maxim shot the man an angry look and then felt the pang of guilt at the man's dejected countenance. It is Christmas Eve, he thought. It's not the new guy's fault that Hauptmann stuck me on machine gun detail. Hell, the guy is stuck out here too tonight. Maxim reached into the pocket of his heavy woolen jacket and slid out a cigarette. He tapped the soldier on the shoulder and offered the cigarette to him. The man's deep-set green eyes lit with excitement as he slipped a cigarette from Maxim's outstretched hand. A grin crossed the soldier's wide mouth as he slipped the cigarette between the thick rosy lips that he constantly licked in what Maxim took for a nervous habit.
Danke schön.
The soldier nodded his head gratefully.
Gern geschehen.
Maxim smiled and turned back to surveil the battlefield. Maybe tonight won't be so bad after all.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And that was No Man's Land by Jack Finn, a good reminder that the trenches are hardly a place to make new friends. A little about the author. Jack Finn is a horror author and active Horror Writers Association member living in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest with his wife and two fiendishly clever dogs. He's a lifelong believer that the Tooth Fairy proves you can trade body parts for cold hard cash. Other books by the author include The Wolves of Kalinin Werewolf Duology, Prey Upon the Lambs, and The Desolation of Hunters. Standalone books include a re-envisioning of the Dracula mythos in The Seven Deaths of Prince Vlad and the folk horror anthology Legend of the Deer Woman. Again, this one's from his book They Come When You Sleep, which you can find at baylocksbooks.com and on Audible. Hey, thanks, Jack.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till next week. Hey, sorry about the short ones these past 2 weeks. We had to cram a couple in to get ahead of schedule. Next week, we'll spend a little more time together. Meanwhile, grab a drink for the road, friend. May the wind be at your back and may the road rise up to meet you. I'll see you all next time. And as always, go fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all. Bye.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.